The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Turn into City. I am your host tonight, November 20th, 2015, Onaje Eagleheart Muid. We are on the air tonight, the International Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Racial Discrimination, commonly known as ICERD or CERD or Race Treaty, is an international human rights agreement that outlines specific standards and steps countries should take to prevent, eliminate, as well as redress racism and racial discrimination. ICERD was adopted by the United Nations in 1965. The United States accepted ICERD into law in 1994. This process is known as ratification. According to the U.S. Constitution, ICERD and all other international treaties are the supreme law of the land and apply to all levels of government. Race Treaty, this show, will highlight the various and daily violations of international law as it relates to racism. This will include white supremacy as systemic, institutional, structural, and personal racism. We will seek to engage activists, social change agents, and other personalities addressing the issue of race treaty. We will highlight the UN 10-year decade for peoples of African descent, from 2015 to 2024, the Race Treaty Program is an outreach of Anti-Racist TV, and you can follow us on Facebook as well as Anti-Racism TV. The email is antiracismtv@gmail.com. This show's title is Beyond Race, Restoring Divine Rights for Human Rights and Human Progress. Today's show sits under other personalities, and we will add even other approaches. The disclaimer is provided so as not to confuse the regular listening audience. Our talk isn't done to replace the CERD or human rights rationale or assertion. It is to expand it. This is not a religious discussion, but it is a divine one, in that this other approach taken tonight will not be within the context of international law, but divine law. It is unusual to think that divine law can assist us in claiming human rights. It is positive that tonight's guest will change your mind. Brother Ahmed Shuaib, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Nadi. How are you this evening?
I am doing well, beloved. Very well. Thank you. I pray that you and your family are doing well also.
Yes. For you the same. And I thank you very much for inviting me onto the program. I hope that, you know, we will have a very favorable discussion with your listening audience.
I'm sure we will. Now, the name Ahmed Shuaib is not a common name. How did you happen to have it? And what is its meaning to you, to the world, and to your work?
My name, formerly that I was born with, was changed by the Imam of the Nation of Islam at the time, and later the World Community of Islam in the West, Imam Walid Muhammad. I was working for him in Chicago, and personal escort to his family.
You have done very well. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can you hear me okay?
There was an interruption, but please continue.
Okay. Yeah, so when I met him, he had already been to Philadelphia. He traveled around the some cities there after he became the leader of the Nation of Islam. And he began to rename us, as opposed to having an X, as in the Nation of Islam, say Malcolm X. His father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, didn't give us names, popular names of Arabic. So the Arabic names that he did give was to just a few of his top laborers. And Imam W. Muhammad began to remove the X's and give us names that were related to the attributes and the content of the nature and character of the human being. So the day I met him, he gave me the name Ahmed Shuai. And I asked him what was the meaning. He said, Ahmed means one who gives praise freely, but is generous with giving praises to Allah. And he said that Shuai is a prophet in Quran or after the Quran, but it has two meanings in the nature of that name. It means one who is young or youthful, one who retains his youth, but is old and experienced, well seasoned. And as I began to learn from him to study, Quran is the way Allah guides us. Allah guides us with the two extremes being always considered because he has a duality in the creation. Okay? And he discerns not, as it says in the Quran, Allah disdains not to teach you in similitude, lowest as well as highest, and that he speaks to us from behind a veil. And that encourages us to think. He wants us to be thinkers, because if we're not, Satan will always come before us, come behind us, and in every way that he can to deceive us. So we can never just accept a thing just because of how we see it. But there's an illusion, a trick, a deception, or some lie that's being promoted by an open enemy. So that's how I came about the name of Ahmed Shuai.
So, given that introduction, how has that led you into the work that you... Tell us a little bit about your company. What's the name of your company, and what is the mission? What does your company do?
Well, there's certain things that I just basically advertise, but it's not limited to the services that can be provided, depending on what's needed by the person or consumer or individual who comes to us. But I came up some years ago with the name Global Response Consulting. For many years, I worked as I developed a business service in the state of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, where I pretty much grew up. And I learned that people were having problems with their driving privileges. And when I started to see what was going on, I wanted to open up a business. But what I wanted to do was kind of foreign to just the average person, and they were only accustomed to what lawyers would do for them in court arguing technicalities. So one day my father had found out that his driving privileges were suspended. So I went to the traffic court, you know, and found out that he had a fine that he had to pay for speeding. So at that time, they would just give you a receipt, you pay the fine, and that was it. You thought it was it, but there was a collateral consequence. Having paid the ticket for my father meant that he pled guilty and became a certified record of a conviction. It goes to motor vehicles, which is an administrative agency, not a legal entity, that regulates driving privileges in each state, in all reciprocal states. So my father got 3 points on his driving license and a 15-day term suspension. So that started me doing a little bit more research and all. So in my research, I found out that the ticket that I paid to my father, that he just went to court and responded to it. It would have been discharged for the statute of limitations. It was beyond 2 years. And no action or proceeding shall take place after 2 years of the commission of the offense. So I got to study in that, and I learned, and I began to develop the business. And global, the reason I use that term is, nothing that I do is limited to just one individual or person or the locale that we live in. We're all touched by the same problems in our lives. So then I started looking at credit. I studied debt. I looked at debt collectors, that I tried to learn how to avoid, an invalid debt collection, because the debt collector actually, when he sends you a notice for you to respond to it, he actually tells you if you dispute a part or a portion of the debt and ask us to validate it, then we'll back up and leave you alone. However, if we don't hear from you in writing within 30 days, we will assume AFS, you know what the first part of that word is, assume that the debt is valid. So they actually need you to validate something that is invalid. And then attempt to avoid share sales. Again, something that I try to, you know, assist people with, avoiding a default judgment. A judgment can be entered against you just because you failed to show up. And therefore, if you didn't respond, again, okay, in a timely manner to a challenge that's being made to you in commerce, your silence acquiesces that what they brought against you is valid, and the judge and the court move on it. So the day they call your name and you didn't show up for the hearing, they award a judgment in what they call by default, or what's called a summary judgment. That means the lawyer who was standing waiting on you to come, that you were intimidated and afraid of, never needed you to show up. Now they have a valid judgment in the records against you. Avoid filing a bankruptcy. We try to assist people who are overextended in their debt obligation, okay, before they turn to a bankruptcy process, because you don't know how to respond and handle the matters that are in commerce. Also, we try to work with people in regard to sole proprietorship in the business structure, as opposed to being a corporation or LLC. Corporation or LLC is a creature of the state. You know, you are subject to the state, as opposed to being a sole proprietor. And as we speak about racism or human and divine rights, okay, it has nothing to do with a corporation or a government. It has nothing to do with divine or human rights. And then we assist people in regard to matters dealing with the Internal Revenue Service. And we kind of assist them in trying to understand how they should respond to IRS matters as well. And so the Global Response Consulting, I learned over the years that every letter that I was reading from the Department of Motor Vehicles, it was saying to the motorist that you have that an indefinite suspension was placed on their driving privileges because you failed to respond to an outstanding citation in whatever reciprocal state or county that it was in. So I learned that responding to things is most important, and the way you respond to something. So this is how I begin to develop the services that I try to provide now.
Excellent. Those of you who are just joining us, you have turned into Race Treaty. And we have with us Global Response Consulting's founder and chief executive officer, Ahmed Shuaib. He is our guest. He has sought to improve the human condition by understanding and applying divine rights to everyday living realities. Today's discussion will explore how divine rights supersedes human rights, and more importantly, how the use of divine rights ensures human rights. He has a 25-year history or more of restoring revoked driving privileges, boarding invalid credit debt claims, and recently asserting rights of humans, not fictitious creations, but humans with the IRS, exposing the evils of a well-dressed-up lie and exposing the wickedness in the commercial contracts that unsophisticated consumers accept to enter into terms and invalid conditions. Ahmed writes and speaks on how to assert rights enacted by congressional acts to fairly safeguard and protect natural persons, consumers. He's the founder of Global Response Consulting, and some of his books that are in draft are The Well-Dressed Up Lie, right? The truth about commercial transactions, Break Free, The True Meaning of Becoming Unchained in Commercial in commerce, wickedness. The truth, most of what we know, binds us together, but the concept of total truth and all that we can embrace in it will surely tear us apart. He asserts the pen is mightier than the sword. So we are glad to have Brother Ahmed on tonight. He's given us background in terms of his name. He's talked about the wording in his company's name, Global Response Consultants. And I want to have you give us, the listening audience, what was your approach to these things? Because the audience may think that you were practicing law. Were you practicing law?
An attorney said that to me one day. I was in traffic court because she noticed that I didn't really use attorneys and answers. She saw me independent of taking my customers in and out of traffic court. So she said, are you still practicing law? I said, hope everybody is practicing law. We have a lawless society. So, you know, the thing is, how do you respond to something? You know, okay, so you can, the Constitution says that, especially in a criminal matter, you have a right to the assistance of counsel. It never said you had the right to the assistance of a lawyer, or you have the right to the assistance of an attorney. It didn't mention those two terms. It said you have a right to the assistance of counsel. The assistance to a person. Yes, who, if they could, and weren't unsophisticated or ignorant to what they're involved in or what they're being faced with, they say, oh, well, they can do it themselves. Well, that's true. You know, you can observe a surgeon, okay, work for them for 20 years, watch him perform every operation in that 20 years. But if he's not coming in today, you can't perform the operation. He can come in there drunk, but you don't have the dexterity in your hand that God has given the surgeon to perform the successful operation, to be able to touch that human form with the scalpel and the precise and exact pressure that the surgeon can do. You can't play a piano if God didn't give you the dexterity in your fingers to play that piano. So we can't just do anything we see someone else doing. See, so we have to assist you. Okay, so a counselor is one who assist you in what's in your best interest. An attorney is an officer of the court, and he works for the state, the vendor company that supplies him business. Every product that you buy, that you're able to sell, is the same thing as the statute that Congress creates or your state legislature. And the one who can deal with those is the ones who are licensed to sell them for. So they sell you charges and offenses. And if you want to accept them, okay, they're going to ask you. So an attorney has to accept them, either accepted or rejected. Where you don't have the opportunity with a counselor, with one who makes recommendations to you to do what's in your best interest, not in the best interest of the court or the state or the government, but for you as a human being to safeguard and protect you. That's why you've mentioned when I talk about the rights. In the Republic. The Republic only steps in if there's a show of force and tyranny or dictatorship or slavery to a human being. Other than that, they keep quiet and let the states do whatever they can get away. I don't know if they get away with, but whatever they can get to valid and accept, knowingly, voluntarily, you know, their own intelligent free will. And so once you do that, it's difficult to say, well, it was fraud, or I was forced to do it, and it was coercion. Or were you threatened? Did someone have a shotgun upside your head? Were you accepted these terms and conditions? No, man, but, you know, as I think back now, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I mean, you know, I would never did it. But you had your own free will to choose or to accept something. Okay, so assistance, say, so a counselor is not necessarily the same as an attorney. A counselor is not licensed with the court to come in there and perform. That's the business. And everything that is in there is written by attorneys, esquires, and attorneys. And so, you know, we have to do things that are in our best interest, in the best interest of our human self.
So how does your firm assist people in these matters that you spoke about? What approach do you take in solving people's problems?
Well, it depends on the individual problem, and we're not a firm. we're not a firm.
Okay.
We're a consultant.
You're
a consultant. I'm saying that because they actually send you letters, debt collectors, who are attorneys or law firms, and then the notice that they send, they say we are a law firm, or we are a debt collector law firm, or we are an attorney attempting to collect a debt. And then the information that you provide us will be used for that purpose. However, if we don't hear back from you in 30 days, our firm or our office or we will assume that a debt is valid. So if you give me some legs and living life form to a firm or some legs and living human life form to an office, they can assume that a debt that they're coming after you for is validated by their firm, then that's why I say we're not a firm. I'm just saying that I have to speak on it. You know?
Yeah, thank you for.
So it depends on
and
the language that they use.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be very careful of the language that they use.
So these firms are fictitious creations?
Oh, absolutely. Anything that's a creation of statute or government is artificial. And when you start out, you say you're a corporation. What are you saying? Instead of you're surrendering your human reasoning, your human religious rationale, your human and religious logic, your human and religious intellect, to have a mission statement or a charter with a state. You're not created by the state, but the corporation or statute created. It gives us this power to exist. See, so the whole Constitution is not for human beings. You already have your inalienable rights. You're supposed to be able to live, safeguard yourself, be sovereign, look out for your safety, health, and welfare for your family. No animal needs it. In the mammals in the ocean, creatures on land, or in air, none of them need a state or someone to tell them what their rights are and how they should live to protect themselves. See, so we got to make proper application of things. So when the Republic comes in and says, oh, y'all been mistreated for so long, we're going to establish a fair way to deal with your credit. You've been mistreated for so long, we're going to establish a fair debt collection practice act. Okay. You've been duped for so long with whether or not you're borrowing money or getting a loan, so we're going to create a truth in lending act. What was the truth in lending? Was it a lie before? Absolutely. It was a well-justified lie. I mean, there was no truth if you weren't being loaned anything. It cost the credit and the full amount the credit will cost you. Not the amount that the home will cost you to live in, or the full amount that the home, but there's a cost of credit and the full amount the credit will cost you. So we're going around dealing with what's artificial and not consistent with our human self.
So you're saying there's deceit in commercial, most commercial transactions?
And most, if it's not at arm's length, eye to eye, man to man, okay, and both parties have agreed, then that way your wife can actually send to Tucson, Arizona, fill out an application, apply for an American Express card with all your personal information, and don't need no identification, no stamp, notary seal that you in fact appeared before the notary and signed it, and it was you, and we sent it back in the mail. Your wife could have it sent to another address. Don't even come to your home address. Now she got an American Express card with a 90-minute read on it. A man with a line of credit of $50,000. And they don't never need to see you. Because they need you to validate something later. Not them.
So what is the point of that? What, in terms of not having the human represented, who's getting the card? If the human's not getting the card, who's getting the card?
A human gets the card. I said, your wife got the card. But it wasn't you that they identified as issuing the card to you as the human impact. There's no witness that you filled it out. Just an application you picked up at Home Depot or some department store in the mall, and you filled it out and mailed it in. There's more, you putting your personal information on that application, and that you actually sending them what's called a promissory note. And once they check you out, your credit worthiness, and they say, yeah, you've been approved. We got enough information on you, issue a card. Okay? But again, they never saw you. You would never witness. They don't need a witness because everything is going to be funneled into the legal process. Legal means to knowingly volunteer by contract to waive or give up your rights as a human being. Your religious rights.
Okay, knowingly and voluntarily giving up your legal rights.
Not knowingly and voluntarily giving up your legal rights. No. I'm saying that legal means, right, to knowingly volunteer by contract to waive or give up. Right? Give up your legal rights. You're getting you to accept legal rights. You're giving up your God-given, human, and religious reasoning, rationale, logic that you need as a human being to safeguard and protect yourself. But if someone comes to you with something, right, and you read over it, you believe you're reading over it, but you're only reciting it like a parrot that's mimicking something back. In most cases, the person look at it and say, well, did you read that? Yeah, this sign right there and initial over here. But the difference in reciting something, you're like a parrot. You're just making a sound and mimicking back something that you don't understand even the existence of it. You're just mimicking sound. So when you look at documents and writing, that's why the pen is mightier than the sword, and the ink of the scholar will be greater than the blood of a martyr. So when you read something, that means you're going to carefully examine, study, investigate it until you're absolutely sure that it reach your mind with understanding for you.
That is excellent. For those of you who are just joining in, we have with us on our radio show, Race Treaty, Achved Shuaib. You can reach him at his email with his name, ahmadshuib@gmail.com. That's one word. Or you can call him at 267-908-5057. This program is only an hour long, so of course you're not going to get all of this, but he has an event that's coming up on December the 5th at 2 o'clock, a webinar, a free webinar, and we'll be giving information about that event later on. But we're going to take a station break at this time, and when we return, we're going to get into not the legal side, that legal means you give up these rights, those divine human rights, and we're going to have him give us an understanding of what that means. What are these things that he's calling divine rights? What are they? How can we protect them? How can we enact them? So we're going to take a station break at this time, and we'll be returning to you shortly.
To the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brother Anaje. Hello.
I'm here. Ahmed is here.
Greetings to you, Brother Ahmed. I'm not sure what happened with Brother Anaje, but.
Yes, sir. You said he was going to take a break.
Yeah, the station identification break's over. It was only a short one.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is Onaje Mweed, the host of tonight's show. Peace Treaty, November the 20th, 2015. We have on the air with us Brother Ahmed Shuaib, who is the founder, chief consultant of Global Response Consultants. So just before we left, had the station break, we, Ahmed had brought up this delineation that legal, as I understand it, is to willingly give up your divine rights, and enter into contract. So I want you, Ahmed, to explain what are divine rights and what rights do we have?
Those are rights that can't be taken from you. What comes from the Creator, and the states in setting up their constitutional concerns for human beings. Think about America and a lot of other countries, especially when you deal with tyranny and monarchy and nepotism and dictatorship. America was hidden, was able to very, very sophisticatedly hide open tyranny, open dictatorship, open slavery. And the way they hide nepotism and monarchy is they privatize everything. So it's not coming from government. You can't blame the Bushes and say Bush did something for his son or did something for his daughter or something for his nephew. So what they do, they privatize it and the government turns it over to them by a contract. Okay, so have rights that are from the Creator. Those are rights that can't be taken from you, but you have to surrender. Okay, they're always recognized. Okay, there's certain things that are in government, they will extend to you. And you say, well, just sign right there. They say, well, give me a chance to read it. So you didn't read it? What would take you so long? Okay, see, so you're giving up certain rights. If I happen to be in a courtroom and the judge was to ask me something, or I had written something to the court, and they will ask you, what is your age? Okay, because they got to know the voluntariness of something that you're entering into. Pass your contract. They're making an offer to you. They're offering you charges. They're not offering you truth or fact. They're offering you offenses that are created by General Assembly. So it's the state's property that they're offering. Just like walking in a McDonald's. Or you walk in a restaurant and there's a sign that says, place your order here, right? So you walk up to the counter and say, I want a Big Mac, fries and a milkshake and two apple pies for $1. You just place your order, now they got to fill it. Or you go in a courtroom and they have charges, okay? And at the very end, you're looking for an order from the court because you already owe it. The state legislature says you owe it. Because they came up with those charges and offenses by introducing a bill. See, so if you don't come to me and tell me you want to fix my washing machine and I need a generator, and you will give me your time and your labor and your services, okay, and give you the money now so you can walk out. No, you got to fix my machine to my satisfaction. Then you give me the bill. Then I pay you. So bills of the past, when they hit the floor, so-and-so congressman, so-and-so state representative, so-and-so senator wants to introduce a bill on out, council person, so-and-so wants to introduce a bill. A bill means I got something that we can come up with and get a majority vote on that we can, get so easy to pay us for. And it'll generate more money into our coffers and our budget. You mean? So bills, okay, or an order for something is what we have to pay very close attention to. If somebody's ordering you to do something, okay, and it's against your free will. So the judge actually has to do an open court. And I'm not saying these things because I'm legal or I'm an attorney, but I've sat up in courtrooms long enough to gather information and see how things go. You know what I mean? And this faculty says, are you of 18 years of age? Okay, do you read and speak the English language? Are you on any narcotics or anything that would impair your ability to know where you're at today? Do you understand that I'm the honorable judge getting ready to send you the 15 years of life? Okay. Did you have an attorney to represent you? Are you satisfied with his representation of you? in your life and where it's going from here? Okay. So they ask you all those questions because do you now knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently accept my sentence or accept my decision over what you started out in the beginning with? Plead guilty or not guilty? Okay. Accept the charges or not? And there's an old saying I remember growing up when I was young. They said the case is won before you ever go to court. So they have to get you to knowingly, voluntarily, without any force, without coercion, without a threat, even when the person is entering into a negotiated plea. A negotiated plea is a contract. And your lawyer is going to say, I'm going to talk to the prosecutor, the DA, see if we can't work something out. How are you going to work something out? The woman was raped. How are you going to work something out and get me left in charge? Somebody is dead. How are you going to work something out? Because that means you can't be working with truth. You can't be working with the reality of fact. A fact is something that happened you cannot change. You can't amend the fact. You can't negotiate a fact. So what are they dealing with? They're dealing with their property. And they can do what they so well please with their property, which is their charges and offenses that you've accepted for them to try you on. So, you know, and the judge, this is his order.
So, okay, so if that's on that side of the line in terms of the whole legal machinery, so how does divine rights present a different option or give us different strategies? How does the application of the divine rights supersede that and give us a different standing, a different footing?
Divine rights have permitted man to exist in his uncommon way or his shortcomings and imperfections. So divine will or divine rights, you can't do anything to change it, okay? You can't do anything to change a divine right. God is sovereign over it, absolute power over it, absolute authority over it, okay? So what it comes down to is your unalienable right, unalienable, the word lien, L-I-E-N is in the word unalienable. Your rights that they will not lean on unless you give them up. So it's up to you to safeguard, protect your safety, your health, your family, and your welfare in your pursuit of your life, liberty, and your happiness. That's on you. That's on every one of us. Okay? God has already given us okay, the divine rights to exist and to put out everything that we need to do that. Speaking on these cell phones, and this computer right now, this is from a man. It's not from the creator. It's not from what's divine. It's from humans. Allah put them whom he pleases, what he pleases. And man was able to come up with these microphones and speakers and cyberspace and cars and everything that man has taken from the earth. It didn't just pop up out the still earth. It popped up because of what the Creator has put in man, and that we should be a lot different and not be wicked and evil, you know, and sinful with it. So how does
a global response consultants help people assert their divine rights in America? How does that happen?
Well, you went right back to divine rights. Divine is above everything. There's no need to do anything with that. It's already in existence. The thing is your human form and your human rights. Okay, safeguarding and protecting them. Okay, and the one thing is the arch enemy that deceives us into giving up those. I said, if I was going to go to law school, okay, they give you a test. And the test is what they call LSAT, Law School Aptitude Test. And so what they tell the law school students is that this is legal reasoning. They answer their questions with legal rationale. They answer the questions that they're given, okay, with legal intellect. Because their job is not to work in the human rights form, okay, or the religious rights of people. Just discarded. They can't come in there with that. Okay? In the legal system or legal process, it has nothing to do with human beings. it appears that it does. Well, I want justice, and I haven't been treated right. And guys, hey, if you got something that was offered to you and you accept it without any coercion, without any force, with no threat on you, okay, then the law of equity is prescribed for us. It all gives us source and ground. If a man accepts to do something of his own free will, then he should fulfill his word or fulfill his obligation. Okay. So the things that are set up for legislative democracy or from government is not to enhance, okay, the environment of the human being. It's for, I usually use the term, it's for the big dog. I'm 6.5, and I can go probably down to the same playground that I was in 1950 and find the same swing, the same sliding board, the same fountain that squeaked out some water during the summer we could run around in the same community 60 years later. City council ain't gonna spend no money on us. They got too much
to think out of it. But like I mean, so we're still with the question, how does Global Response Consulting help people assert their divine rights? And you talk about the playground.
He's the same. You went back to the same thing. I stopped you before. We don't assist people with divine rights.
But I'm saying, what kind of services can people expect from you when they call you? Why would they call you if they don't understand the services that you're going to provide? So right now, I'm not sure if your listening audience is getting that aspect.
Assistance to them. I said that one, we found out that the problem, a major problem, is failing to respond.
Okay.
A lot of potential hearts. So we help them to understand how to respond.
Oh,
secondly,
okay.
The first thing, well, what are you going to do for me? Well, I'm going to do what you didn't do. You brought me these documents that you recited. You've never investigated it. You never studied them. You got 37 pages here for a mortgage or for a car loan or for some credit cards, and you never read them. You never carefully examined and studied them until they reached your mind with understanding. How is it going to benefit or affect or harm you as a human being? And if you did that, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in because you would have threw them up or burned them and never signed them.
Now, that creates a dilemma. How is someone going to get a car if they don't have the $15,000 in the bank to pay for it? How is someone going to get a house, buy a house, if they don't have the $200,000, you know, $300,000 in the bank to pay for it? How else could people go about securing their human needs if they're not going to use these instruments?
Our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents have told us that. Don't live beyond your means. If you can't afford something, what you getting ready to do? You actually voluntarily get, you may put yourself in a hellish position, okay, that you can't afford something. So what are you living with? Pretext and hypocrisy? You're pretending? You want to get something and pretend later? Okay? If you can't afford a $15,000 car, they sell cars all day long at auction. You get a $500 car that gets you back and forth to work the way you $15,000 car. Then you pay the interest and finance charges and all the fees that go along with it. So it starts at a $15,000, and within the 3 to 5 years, you can already pay $65,000 for it.
So,
you know, my mother said one day about want. They want a house, they want a car. She said, boy, let me tell you something. You want in one hand and SHIT in the other. She just wanted to get filled with that.
Oh, okay. But in terms of people, are you able to help with your services? This insight that you have and the tools that you have, how, you know, what kind of audience would you be able to help? Who would be your clientele, let's say?
Anyone that's involved in commerce and contracts of what you call terms and conditions. Terms and conditions are what you call contracts of adhesion. You sign something, take it or leave it. Okay. You weren't able to, you're accepting to be liable for something that you didn't dictate. It was already laid out for you. All they need to choose to do is sign it and accept it. There's no way that American Express, JP Morgan, Citicorp, Wells Fargo got their name at the top of a piece of paper and they gave it to you or not. And say, here, let's make a deal. Are you on a level playing field commercially? You're dealing with a, you already signed something from a multi-billion dollar, like you said, house is going to get a $15,000 car. House is going to get a $200,000 mortgage. Well, that's the same thing when you sit down and say, well, I want to borrow or I want a loan for. A uniform residential loan is not for buying a house. None of those mortgages are not buying houses. You're not buying a house on a mortgage.
Wait. Everybody knows that when you get a loan, you're getting the mortgage for the house, right?
Wrong. You're not getting the mortgage for the house.
If you're not getting the mortgage for the house, what are you getting the mortgage for?
A mortgage is what they call a security instrument. A security instrument that secures your promise to pay for something. If you didn't pay, you said, look, take the land, the house that I'm going to be living in is on. The mortgage is against all that certain lot or piece of ground that the building is sitting on. No one would trust that you personally, for 30 years, as a human being, is not going to have any problem that you're not going to miss your 3 monthly payments consecutively where you would be in default. And they can come to foreclose on your mortgage. That's what the mortgage is for. A security. But you walked in there, you didn't have nothing. What are you going to use as security? Your transaction is a purchaser dealing with a seller. The seller already had the rights to everything that you wanted. So when you went in to try to gain possession of the property from the seller, you went to a bank or a lending institution. Okay, so you felt that you was going to get a residential loan, a primary residence for you and your family to live in. That's what you believe you was paying for. That's not what you're paying for. Each month you make a payment, it goes towards interest. The Truth in Lending Act tells you that the cost of credit and the full amount the credit will cost you. Actually, the cost of interest. Each month is taken from your $1,000 payment. Whatever the percentage is, goes towards interest, and then the difference will reduce your principal balance. So you're never buying a house. It has nothing to do with a building.
That's quite enlightening. To our listening audience, I'd like to say that you're listening to Race Treaty, and we're on every Friday night between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. Tonight's show was Beyond Race, Restoring Divine Rights for Human Rights and Human Progress. And our host was Ahmed Shuab, a Global Response Consulting founder and CEO. Ahmed Shuab was tonight's guest. He has sought to improve the human condition by understanding and applying divine rights to everyday living realities. And as you heard it, it relates to the agreements you enter into. It relates to a mortgage and what it is and what it's not. It relates to how do we budget ourselves in such a fashion that we stay inside of our means and not fall into these traps. Tonight's discussion shared with you his name, shared with you his history of restoring revoked driving privileges, avoiding invalid credit debts, and recently asserting rights of human beings, not fictitious creatures, but human beings, with the Internal Revenue Service. So we are happy to have had him on the show tonight. Some of his books that he's writing, that he's drafting, include The Well-Dressed-Up Lie, as well as Break Free and The Truth. And you'll be able to receive these books as soon as they are in print. But on December the 5th, you will be hosting a webinar where he'll go into more detail with some of the concepts that you was introduced to today. He can be reached at ahmadshuib@gmail.com. And you can call him as well at on 267-908-5057. So we're nearing the end of the show. And I just want to give Brother Ahmed a chance to give some thought or to what he hasn't said and that which he would want the audience to know before we end our call tonight. Brother Ahmed, any other things you'd like to bring to our attention at this point? Hello.